These hands are his hands. This mouth is his mouth. His thoughts are his thoughts, supposed to be, right? Kind of gives you a little bit of a wake up, right? So we just know that the Holy Spirit always challenges us to live a little bit higher and come up into the Lord and surrender ourselves in a way that we would be even more so his hands and his feet and his heart and his thoughts and so forth. And so, welcome to the house of the Lord tonight, and we're going to be ministering tonight. So, lovely musician can go to her seat. I want to thank each one of you for being here. I know it is a sacrifice and a battle. And I know we live in a day where Satan's just on every hand, on every corner. It's just, you'd think he'd give up. You know, you'd think he'd give up, but he doesn't. But he's going to be shortly put under. So we know that time is coming. So we're thankful to the Lord for that. And I know that, you know, if I was in his case, I'd be a sore loser too. How many of you kids ever seen a sore loser playing football or something like that? And the other team loses and they get mad about it? Yeah. Well, Satan's the father of sore losers. That's just the way it is. But anyway, he's defeated and God's people are on top. I have great expectations for what the Lord is doing. And Brother Daniel and I were talking yesterday, I think it was. And just we see something happening. I see something happening down inside. And I'm not going to say it's third pool, but it sure looks like it to me. Yeah. Just the very onset of it. And so, Lord, forgive me if I'm speaking out of, but I think Brother Daniel knows what I'm talking about. He probably agrees. I see the Lord moving in a way that we've probably desired for him to do in the past. So anyway, we have high expectations for what he will do in this day. Just like Harold Beckett said, we're not going to go out of here as a defeated people.
Right.
We're going to go out victorious. And so if we've got pains in our bodies right now, we're not going to have them rapture morning.
Right.
We've got turmoils and sin or anything like that binding us down, we're not going to have that then. So if you know that between here and there, he's got to get us to that spot, we have a lot to look forward to, right?
That's right.
So, of course, if we're lagging behind and we're slothful and he's going to have to skin us to get us there, then we might be shaking a little bit about it, you know. But you know what? I believe the Christian can say, you know, Lord, no matter what it is, you do what you got to do to get me there.
Amen.
So we know he'll do that. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about true redemption. How many would like to not just understand true redemption, but actually be partakers of true redemption?
Amen.
And so I woke up this morning laying in bed, and this you know, scripture's beginning to move. So I said, well, this is what I'll do tonight. I'll minister on this. And I had was planning on ministering last Wednesday night, but as most ministers know, what you had a week ago didn't necessarily what the Lord wants you to do tonight. So anyway, let's stand and open our Bibles to John chapter 15. And I want to try to get this off on the right foot tonight. And I don't know exactly how to say it, but we want to make sure that as we process the Word of God, and if we want to look into true redemption or anything as far as that goes in the Word of God, we certainly want to be about putting our thoughts to the side and say what God says. And putting our thoughts aside and say what a prophet has said in this day, if it is prophet. So we want to certainly do that. So this is Jesus speaking. He said, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye, now listen to what he says. Ye have not chosen me. How many feel like that, well, I was at the altar one night and I chose the Lord Jesus Christ. Put that thought to the side.
That's right.
Right? He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And he didn't just choose you, but he ordained you. Right? He ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. He didn't say go and be barren. Right? If we feel like our lives are barren right now, it's because we haven't come completely to what he's got ordained right here for us. So he says that you'd go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain.
Right.
You're not going to be sitting out here in your promised land and have fruit and some Amorite or somebody come along and steal it from you. Right? So you're going to have fruit, and that fruit shall remain. That whatsoever... Listen to this. That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may what? Give it to you.
Amen.
Listen. I just that right there. Just to possess that right there on a daily basis, I'd be happy.
Amen.
That's all it would take. So, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that hated me before it hated you.
That's right.
If you were of the world, the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord Jesus, as we get into your word tonight, we realize that these are the words of eternal life. They're living words. Lord, we already see that you, in your desire, Lord, in your Holy Spirit, to quicken things to us, Lord. And so we appreciate that tonight. We give you complete preeminence and honor you in every way tonight as we look into the word. We pray, God, that you would just open the scriptures to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. How many of you know we're sheep?
Yes.
You know what sheep eat? They eat sheep food.
That's right.
Right? I think sheep get excited about sheep food.
Amen.
I don't think you have to put it out there, and I don't think they snarl their nose up at it. I think they just dive in. And so, really, as a shepherd, really, that's one of the biggest things he has to do. He just has to feed the sheep, you know. And so, feed him sheep food. Because God has ordained a message in this day, and that message is our sheep food.
That's right.
Right? So we're happy about that. And he ordained us with an appetite in this hour. It's so funny because there's billions out there that don't have the appetite you and I have.
That's right.
But you know what I'm saying? They reject, they hate, they despise, they can't stand the very words that you and I get so stimulated about. Because we see ourselves inside the circle of the Word of God, and there, for some reason, they see themselves outside the circle. And so, if you could snap your fingers or say some magic word and make it to where everybody can see it, you certainly would.
Yeah.
I believe I could almost be like Paul. Let me be a curse that some of my people can be saved.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the way we feel about it. And so, we know that sheep have sheep food, and God has given us an appetite for what He wants to give us today. You know, we're talking about true redemption. Satan is always blinding the minds of the people to make it to where they just can't believe the Word of God. Even as simple as God lays it out, He makes it to where they can't see it. And I want to read in Romans chapter 1. You forgive me if there's a lot of scripture reading, but let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. And I hope she's already got it pulled up for you, sister, there. Paul says this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein," this gospel, right? "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They hold the truth, but they hold it in unrighteous living. Okay? "Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath" what? "God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Just hold that up there for a little bit, sister. Now look at what he's saying there. That even these heathens, even these people all around the world, he goes on, you realize in this chapter, he goes on to show that these people are cursed because when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, but they changed Him into something else, like some creature or something like that, like four-footed beast or like man or whatever. They took the deity and the honor and glory of God and they tried to make Him likened to something low. And so they got turned over to a reprobate mind. That's what it goes on to say if you read the rest of this chapter. But you see here, he's saying that God has showed them enough just by them looking at nature, just looking at creation. They can understand even His eternal Godhead. You know what he says? Even His eternal power and Godhead, right? And so he says, so they are without excuse. So my point in pointing to this scripture, when I said Satan's always blinded people so they just can't believe it, here is the scriptures tell us that God makes it even things that they can see daily in creation would speak to them and tell them that God is real and there's a Godhead and all the things that Paul is speaking of here, and yet they don't honor it and they don't cherish it, and they go off to some other direction. And so, you know, we don't want to be that way. We want to make sure that we don't fall into that category. And I don't believe we do. I don't believe we do. But I'll tell you something. Satan's out to get you.
Yeah.
And he never starts out and walks up and says, "Hi, I'm the devil. I'm here to ruin your day." But I'll tell you what. He'll be through subtlety, just slowly and slowly try to change your reception to the Word of God. Change your reception to the things of God. Change your attitude. And make it to where at someday you'll be like this right here.
Right.
Because they knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. They had Him in their midst. They had Him in their hands. Right? You understand what I'm saying? There was something about Him that He had made known to them, and they didn't honor it. They didn't cherish it. And so they went from that to this right here, and on to a reprobate mind, on to a Sodom condition, if you read the rest of it in this chapter.
Right?
That's what happens. So when we fail to honor God, when He does something for us, when He comes down in our midst, and we don't honor that and go with it and cherish it and talk about it and just joy in it, Satan comes along, because that creates a void. When we don't return that glory back to God, Satan comes in and he gets in that, and it makes you drift. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, we don't want to be like that. We find out in the scriptures, and we're talking about true redemption. We're talking about people in the natural. How many see people who get this kick in their life where they want to go and they want to find out their ancestry? They want to go find out who their grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great and where they come from and all that. And a lot of times they're successful. A lot of times they do that and they make a family book and it's got all the information. You know, even my family's done a little bit of that. And so there's nothing wrong with that. So people are all the time, there's a hunger. I mean, what person wouldn't know who their offspring was or where they come from? And so it has to do with an identity. There's an identity that's kind of tied to that. They somehow feel like that if I can find out who my mommy and my daddy was, if they didn't know their mom and dad, or if I could find out who my grandparents and where we come from, somehow it would give meaning to life. I'd kind of know where I come from. And maybe that might help me understand what I'm here to do tonight.
Yeah.
See? And so this world is suffering for identity crisis. They all are, you know, a whole lot of them, most of them. And so a lot of people do that. But you find out that the elect of God are the only ones that can look and know what their destination is. Because when the elect of God find their origin, when they find where they come from, that will tell you where you're going to. Natural people might go and seek out to see where their grandparents is and so forth, but that's not going to tell them where they end up. But when a child of God gets that hunger inside them and they want to know where they come from, they want to know about God, they want to know what's going on, when they find the answer to that, that automatically tells them their destination, because their destination is declared by their origin. Everybody follow me on that? Got some blank looks. Does everybody follow me on that? You understand what I'm saying? It's the way it is, okay? So people will do that. But you see, I want to show you something, and we'll get into it a little bit later. When a hunger strikes a person, and they begin to seek after God. They want to know. I remember when it hit me. I want to know. I remember when my wife was still working at Kmart. I remember sitting on our couch, and I wasn't no more a Christian than anything, but I had a hunger, and I was sitting there, and I was reading that first, second, third, and fourth seal over and over and over. I want to know what this means. And I had gotten something from some mailed some book, you know, they mailed to me, and somebody mailed it, was trying to tell what they thought about it, and you imagine what they were saying. But I had such a hunger. I didn't even know God as far, but I had a hunger there, even in that condition. And I look back at that now, and I can see, you know what? There was something begin to work in me right then. Now, how many can say you see something like that in your life? Well, you know what? The next time the devil comes and tells you you're not a son or daughter of God, you say this, and I was telling Marcus this yesterday. You say to him, well, wait a minute. What was it that was give me that hunger for that back then? What was it that caused me to seek? It sure wasn't you, devil. That's what I told Marcus. I said, you tell the devil, listen, at one time I would do the things of the world and didn't even think twice about it. But now there's something in me that fights against that. Who is that that's in me fighting against that devil? It's not you. It's because if there's a fight, that means there's opposing opinions.
Yeah.
Right? So the next time the devil tries to tell you something like that, just wag it right back in his face and tell him, say, look, you know, if I was on your side, you would be sitting here talking to me, trying to get me convinced. And that's the way it works. Brother, you remember Brother Ryan?
Yes.
Remember, he stood right here in this pulpit many times. He said, if the devil's not fighting you, you're already on his side. And he's right. You know? So anyway, people want to seek after their ancestry, and that's all it gives them. Maybe it gives them purpose of life. But the believer, when they seek after these things, where they come from spiritually, it gives them purpose of life, but it also tells them where they're going. And so, I have a quote I wanted to read, and this will really get us kicked off in the direction I'm going tonight for true redemption. It's in Who Is This Melchizedek? And I love that message. I love all those messages he did at that high school during that time, marriage and divorce, and God's only provided place of worship. This is wonderful sermons. But who is this Melchizedek? He said, the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Brother Ram said, did you get that? Let me say that again. Man, listen to that prophet standing there. Man, he's laying out marriage and divorce. I mean, the whole world is being judged by what he's saying. And he's standing there taking his stand. He says there's only one provided place for worship. That's where he placed his name, not in your denomination. And he sets marriage and divorce straight. Here's this, who's this Melchizedek? And he's answering all these things that he was supposed to tie up and answer. And so he says, let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. People might make like and think that they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated. Because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? The redeem is something, or to redeem anything, is to bring it back to its original place. Hallelujah. So, it's only the predestinated that will be brought back because the others did not come from there. See? Pretty simple, right? So to redeem something means that it can only be redeemed as to take it back. So if it wasn't there to begin with, you can't redeem it.
Right.
And so I just wanted to illustrate this tonight. I got this coupon right here. Some of you might recognize what this is, even from my wife does. But this coupon, I'm going to let one of the little ones read this. Maybe Dylan. Tell us what that is. It's a coupon for where? Hobby Lobby. What does it say on it? 40% off. 40% off of any item. But it has an expiration date on that. What does it say for the expiration date? June 13th. Now, could I take this to Walmart? Why couldn't I take it to Walmart? Walmart didn't issue it. Hobby Lobby issue. But you know what? Just looking at this right here, just in that form, it says 40% off. So you realize if I bought something that was $1,000, would they have anything there that's $1,000? Let's say $100. If they had something there that was $100 and I bought it, that means this piece of paper is worth $40. Or if it was $1,000, it would be worth $400. Because it says one item at regular price. So let's say I was going to go in and buy something $1,000. This is worth $400. It's just a piece of paper. And so it's worthless.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
But you put it in the cycle of redemption, and what does it become?
Amen. That's right.
Right?
But how do you put it in the right cycle of redemption? And here's how you do it, is you go and you take it back to where it comes from. When you take this big piece of paper right here that's a coupon, and it'll say redeemable or whatever, and it has an expiration date. When you take the coupon and you go back to the place that issued it with the purpose of cashing in on the promise that it gave you, free of charge, when you do that, then the full value of what this is all about comes clear.
That's right.
Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So if God, the word redemption means to bring back, that means he had to issue for something, and then that something, before we could fully understand what it really is, we have to take that and enter into that redemption cycle, and then the full price of that redemption becomes clear to us.
That's right.
Right? So that's where the word redeem, that's what that means. Redeem means to bring back. And so I'm glad God instituted a plan like that. So, you can't redeem something that wasn't there to begin with.
That's right.
Right? Jesus said, now, we read it a while ago, he said, you're not of this world. Well, I'm going to ask you something, and we're not. Okay, I'm not disputing that. But if we're not from this world, where are we from?
Right.
Right? Didn't Jesus say, talking about himself, didn't he say, I came from God, and now I'm going to go back to him. Right? Didn't he say that no man can ascend up into heaven except he that come down from heaven?
Yeah.
Right? And we're thinking all that means him because he come down. But what about us?
Yeah.
And Brother Branham, prophet, comes along and tells us that heaven consists of the Word. Because, you know, in the natural, we're down here and we can't do anything. We maybe jump a little bit. But heaven's up there. Well, in the natural, spiritually speaking, on earth, we have this natural mindset, and all we can see is what man sees and all that, but you can be elevated up in the spirit into heavenly places. Just like you can get on an airplane or an astronaut, a ship, a spaceship, and go out. So you can be elevated up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but you'll never be able to go there, never be able to be caught up into heaven unless you come from there to begin with. That's what he's telling us. So, when we begin to hunger and thirst after God and we get into these, we find out what our origin was. And right here, just by finding out what our origin is, we find out what our destination is. Right? Didn't the Old Testament say, and I need to look it up to see where it is, but God's Word will not go out void.
That's right.
Right? It'll come back. It won't be a void. It'll come back producing exactly what he said.
That's right.
So if Brother Dillon here, if God spoke off of his lips the life of Brother Dillon, that life, that word that went forth that creates him and declares him to be a son of God, what's going to happen? That word is going to come right back and it won't be void.
Yeah.
Right? So now you see why a prophet said, we're just as much the Word as he is, and we're just as much eternal life as he is. Why? Because it's him.
Yeah.
Okay? So he said, Jesus said, I come from a God, and I go back to God. We read where he says, you're not of this world, but I've chosen you out of this world. And so now you begin to see what a redemption is. Redemption is to take us back to a position that God declared that we would have in the first place. And you know what? No devil, no sickness, no nothing in this world can make that word come back void.
That's right.
Right? So we might as well just say it. When somebody says, who are you? Just say, I'm the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm the Word made flesh. Because that's what you are. If you really believe that. Now remember, to get the full benefits of redemption, we've got to enter into this package. So God has sent to us this coupon or whatever of redemption. Let's take it and let's go back to him with his promises.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go back to him and present to him and say, here I am to cash in on what you sent my way. Right? If you don't do that, it's not worth much, right? It's like this piece of paper is not worth much unless you put it into action. And so we find out that's the way it works. And we know we're the sons and daughters of God. And we know we're the children of the kingdom of heaven. We belong to the elite class. You know, Hitler wanted to build a supreme race. And there is a supreme people. It's not a natural people, but there's a supreme people. God has said it would be His children. They are supreme in everything that He has called them to be. And so, we belong to the family of heaven. We belong to this club, this membership, or whatever you want to call it. But the highest level of membership that you can have is by birth. You can join clubs. You can go sign up for this and sign up for that, and you might be their star member. You might be the president of that club. But the highest form of membership you can have in anything is to be born into it. Right? So we're born into the kingdom of heaven. We don't join up. We don't sign our name on a book, shake some preacher's hand or something like that. It don't come that way. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. We're born into that kingdom. Yeah. Right? Brother Branham said, I was born a Branham. I didn't have to join it. And you know what? I was born a Roberts. That's my last name. It's always been my last name. And it'll always be my last name in this earth. Yeah. See? I didn't join it. I didn't have to ask to be part of it. I was birthed into that economy of that family, just like you were birthed into the economy of your family. And you belong in that part of that economy because you are that economy.
Yeah.
You're just as much part of that as the next person. The black family, all of these sitting here on the chairs, they all are part of the black family. They don't have to beg to be there. They were born into it. It's given to them by right of birth.
Yeah.
And all the benefits that come with that birth belong to them.
Yeah.
Including packing that name.
Amen.
Packing that identity. Alright? So if we're born into the kingdom of heaven, then isn't there a name associated with that? Isn't there benefits of being part of that family? Not being just like somebody brought in from outside, but you are that family.
Yeah.
Nobody can come and say, well, you know, used to not be. You know. No, you are that family. This might not have acted that way, but the seed of God down inside you was always part of that family, and you just had to come to that realization.
Right.
So the highest membership you could have is to be birthed into it, and we're born into the kingdom of heaven. And once we're born into that kingdom of heaven, we pack the characteristics of that family.
Yeah.
Right? You know, kids look like mommy. Kids look like daddy. They sound like mommy. They sound like daddy. They live in the same place. They eat the same foods. They go to the same places. They worship in church together. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why? Because they're a family. Familiar. That's where that word familiar comes from. Family.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, when you're born into that family, then you pack the characteristics of that family, right? Well, what is the characteristics of the family of God? Well, you can say a lot of things, but I want to point out what it is that I'm trying to get across to you tonight. The characteristics of the family of God is that you can take that down now, I'm sorry. The characteristics of the family of God is what? They are born to seek truth.
Amen.
They are born to seek truth. We were reading the Faith Challenge Report. It comes out of Cloverdale. I believe that's what it's called. Isn't it what it's called? My wife was reading it last night. What country is that in Africa? I forget. Well, anyway.
Ethiopia.
Okay. Well, over there in Ethiopia, they were telling about this work that's going on over there. And they told about this young lady that they run into, and I don't try to get into all the story, but the common thread that was there that I find in believers all over the world, they'd come into her, come to her contact with her there, and she was somebody, and she had been going from one church to the next church to the next church to the next church. She was seeking truth. She was born in the family of God. She was part of that family. And that's that identity, that characteristic, as a child begins to grow, they begin to look more like mommy or daddy. You understand? Those characteristics become more prevalent. So as she's in this world and something begins to call and work on her and she starts seeking after truth and she wasn't finding it, and when she come in contact with the believers like that, one service, that's all it took, and she's been coming ever since. She couldn't get away from the first service without being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, what are we talking about? Seeking after truth. And that's the thing, that there's something down inside. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the denominations say. There's something in me that's not satisfied with what they're saying and was seeking after something more. Those are uncertain sounds to me. Those trumpets, I don't understand that. But when we come across the message they are, we hear a trumpet and there's something that makes sense to us with that. See? Yeah. And we realize, and when we heard that, well, it just told us who we were. And so, we are born in the kingdom of heaven. We are born to be seekers of truth. Well, Jesus said in St. John chapter 8, verse 32, I think she has that, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I've mentioned this two or three times before. The truth shall make you free. It didn't say the truth shall set you free. Right? The concept is here is for you to be free. And so if I was in bondage back here in this, and somebody came along and got me out, and now I'm free because I'm not in jail anymore. So you can say, well, he has set me free. But then I could be put back in jail again. Yeah. And I wouldn't be free. But what if the very essence of what freedom is, what if God makes us free? Not just a condition that he's brought us from one into another, but he makes you. You are freedom. You embody that. How are they going to take that away from you? If you have eternal life, how are you going to take life out of somebody who's got eternal life? You can't. Right? Well, how do you take freedom out of somebody that God has made them free? That makes sense? So when somebody comes along and says, well, where is freedom? So I am freedom. I'm free. I'm the embodiment of freedom. I have nothing binding me, holding me back. Right? Can everybody understand the concept I'm trying to go to here? So you shall know the truth. Why are we seekers of truth? If God wants to redeem us back to himself, and the way to do it is to reveal that to us, then how is it that we could just come in this world and just kind of wander around and never really interested, never hunger to know anything, and think we're going to wind up there? It don't work that way. God has put something in there that when it comes to a place, there's a time it comes and it says, I've got to know what I'm doing here. I got to know who I am. I've got to find out what this is all about. That's truth that's crying out, or a hunger for truth is crying out, and you go seeking truth, and when you find that truth, what does it do? It makes you free. Right? So I could call you Mr. and Mrs. Freedoms, or whatever. It makes you free. Whenever they said, well, police officer said, well, I'm looking for the Welch Revival. Or can you tell me where the Welch Revival is? He says, I am. Yeah. I am the revival. Right? I'm not just having a good time in church and all this. I am. I am the declaration of this revival because I am the revival. I am freedom. Right? Well, who is the family of God? We are.
Amen.
How did we get there? We're born into it.
That's right.
No joining, no shaking somebody's hand, nothing like that. We were just flat out born into it with the highest association to that family that you can have to be born into it.
Yeah.
The highest thing that you can have right there. And because we're born into that, we're not ashamed. I can tell you that none of these children sitting here are ashamed of the black family name. I know there's probably some people in my family that I might say, well, I'm not ashamed of Robert's name. But there are some people, you know, that's like, well, I don't know them, you know. But you understand what I'm saying. We're not ashamed of the family we belong to. We're not ashamed of God. We're not ashamed of this truth that has made us free. We're not afraid to declare that we are that people and to live accordingly. And so, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So I just wrote down here, truth is the language of heaven. Think about that. Truth is the language of heaven. What do we talk about? All the time. What do we talk about? Truth. What God has given us that liberates us from this nasty world. That's what we talk about. That's our language. We're speaking in heavenly language. Pentecost wanted us to speak in what they call tongues. You stand up and preach a message an hour and you're speaking in tongues. And they don't realize it. You're speaking in a different language to them, in other words. But we're speaking in a heavenly language because truth is the language of heaven. Truth is the food for the sheep. It's sheep food. And so, truth is the bread from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread from heaven. I came down, I'm the bread of heaven. Of course, they didn't like that. They couldn't handle it. They won't like it when you take your position either. They won't care for that.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it is. So, the truth will make you free. So, you could say, where's freedom? I am freedom. Where's the family of God? We are. We're the family of God. We're not just into that group by membership. We're born into it. We are that group. See? That's what I want to show you. Satan wants you to think that, well, you just associate with a people called the family of God. No, you are the family of God.
Yeah.
Right? If Christ is in you, if you've had that birth, see? Then you are the family of God. So where is the rapture? Somebody tell me. You are the rapture. Right? You are the rapture. Rapture is not just a condition, it's a person. It's the life of God. So you are the rapture. Where's Christ? You're Christ. You are this generation's manifestation of Jesus Christ. And so we are freedom. We are the rapture. We are those saints. And because we are those, we're not just claiming. Because Brother Brennan said, well, some people make like or act like they're going to be redeemed. But redemption only applies to those who were there to begin with.
Sure.
It's to bring back. The only ones that truly can ascend up are the ones that come there. The only ones that can truly feast on this word and seek after that truth, find that truth and be set free, is the ones that are predestinated. The ones who held that position to begin with, they're the only ones that can be partakers of true redemption. Everything else is just making money.
Yeah.
True redemption. I know that smacks everybody's teaching in the world out there, but I'm speaking of, you see it, I can see it in the Bible anyway, but a prophet plainly come out and it said that. We just read the quote there. Let me repeat that. See? Only predestinated is the one that's considered in redemption. Because you had to be there in the first place to come back. And so, because we are this, we can bear the fruits or the imagery of this family. We can bear the fruits or imagery of the rapture. We can do this. Why? Because we are the rapture. We can bear the fruits of God because we are the fruit of the life of God. You see what I'm saying? We can do that. It's not like we have to, you know, struggle or whatever. If we just be what we are in Christ, you'll be these things.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Of course, your flesh fights you left and right, and as you spend 99% of your time trying to put him off to the side so you can get a clear channel to do what we're talking about. But because we are free, we can manifest the life of freedom. You know, the Jews, when Jesus said, you know, I forget how it got started there, but they said, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage. Right? Wow. And they had the right concept. We're of the right offspring. We're not in bondage. What are you talking about? But we realize that scripture searches scriptures for anything. They, you know, you think you have eternal life, but there they can speak to me, Jesus said. So those guys are thinking all that's talking about then. It was talking about him. Right? All the Old Testament scriptures, it all was pointing to him, and he's the sum of it all. It's all talking about him. That all those things that it said was speaking of him who was eternal life. And so he could have the results because he was life. He is life. See what I'm saying? So we can have redemption because we are the redeemed.
That's right.
Right? It's not just something we make like we are or we join up and want to be part of, but by birth we are the redeemed.
That's right.
By birth we pack the coupon in us. Right? It doesn't look like it right now. Right? We look at one another and we don't really see the value of what's going on here. But down inside us is something that can be redeemed, and we're presenting it back to God. And the closer we get back to that time when our bodies have changed, the more this is going to look like Him. And so the Scripture said, my little children, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, right? Right? Doth not yet appear, but we know that when He appears, we'll know Him, for we shall be like Him.
Right?
Remember how Brother Brim said, whenever that the closer it gets, the more that positive and negative look the same? Well, this is the negative.
Yeah.
But the closer we come to that, the more you're going to begin to see this thing manifest more of what that true image is.
That's right.
Can everybody see that?
Right.
So you see why we, between here and there, between here and rapture morning, we should have high expectations, because we have got to start looking more like that and less like what we have. Right? And we can do that because we are the redeemed. Right? We are the true redeemed. And so we can have the results because, hey, that's who we are. I think it was in Fireproof, I think it was, and the one guy that was so arrogant all the time, and he's like, I'm not bragging. It's not bragging if it's true. Right, you know, it ain't bragging if it's true. You know, I used to say that when I was in high school. It ain't bragging. If he can really do it, he's not bragging. He's just telling the truth, you know. See, but when you really possess it, it's going to manifest, see. And we see this moving. And it won't be like the world thinks, and it probably won't even be like we thought previously. But this life that I'm talking about that's in the redeemed, brother, sister, it's working, it's alive, it's well. It's moving, and it's going to come back to God, and it's not going to be void. It's going to be just like He said.
Amen.
And it might have to go through 10 miles of hurting backs and shoulders, but it will be. It shall be. It's like my Aunt Mary last night. You will be feeling better today. Right? She agreed with me because she texted me so much she wasn't feeling well. See, and I forget how I said it, but I've declared it. She will be.
That's right.
And she said, amen and amen, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Right? That's what she's texting me. But you see what I'm saying? And we might find out it works more for others than it does for ourselves. See?
Yeah.
See? So even in that, you can see that God wants us to be a family, and He wants us to love one another and care about one another and look over at one another. Because while I'm out here praying and getting, and I'm going to say it this way, I'm not exalting me, I'm just saying, as we come into this, if I'm out here praying for others and God's moving and doing miracles for them, and the gift is for them and not for me, somebody needs to be praying for me.
That's right.
Right? And each other. Now, is that what a prophet declared to us in his own ministry? Now, you put your hand on the person next to you, don't you pray for yourself, you pray for them, then we pray.
Right.
How many times did he do that? It wasn't just play. He found out what worked.
Yep.
See? This is the actions of redemption beginning to come forth and be resident in a body of believers. Of course, back then the message was just coming out and this was all out there, but they've all rejected it, but there's still a group that still believes it. And they're coming into it more and more and more. And so it is the family, it is because you're the family of God, because you have that gene in you, that's what enables you to believe truth.
That's right.
So we're going to go to a scripture to show you what that is, and that's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. We all know this. It doesn't say, if you want to be sons, right? What does it say? And because ye are sons. God set forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, you realize, if He puts a Spirit in you, and that Spirit comes upon you, and all of a sudden you begin to cry, and you say, Father, Father, that means you're a son. Right? He didn't say, you'll be a son when He sends this upon you. He said, because you are sons. You already possessed it. But the whole path of redemption has to work wherein that you receive this baptism, this new birth, this life of God, this Spirit comes into you, and then it begins to declare you. Now you begin to act out what was laying there. Everybody got that? So there you are. You can never go back there unless you were there. See? And you can never receive this unless you were already sons. I know the world don't teach that. But that's it right there. And it's all over the Bible once you see that. You know, we talk about it all the time. But sometimes I think it's good to get you right there and stick your nose right on the Scripture so you can see, you know what, it is in my Bible. I have seen it.
Yeah.
And I know it's there. Because you're sons, He sends it to you.
Yeah.
If you're not a son, He's not going to send it to you, right? Because if you were not a son, you're not a word that come out of His mouth, and He couldn't come back and put that life on you and bring you back because you weren't there to begin with. But if you were there and He sent you forth, then He'll bring you back by putting that life upon you, that life, and it goes on to say it's a spirit of adoption. Right? He goes on to say it's a spirit of adoption. And so because you are sons, God has done this. And because you are sons, God tutors you and brings you to this adoption.
Yeah.
He's not going to tutor the neighbor's kid down the street. He's tutoring His children.
That's right.
And bringing them to maturity. Right? So, there we have it. So, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, the story of redemption. You can turn that off if you want, sister. The story, the record of redemption is really a record of how God issued forth His sons and daughters and how He redeems them back. That's all it is. You can never go there if you back there unless you were from there. Right? You can never go into eternity and be eternal unless you were eternal. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. So that means that you are part of God. You're the offspring of God. You're part of God, and all you can do is go back to Him. But let me caution you, because I'm speaking to people that you know, some probably need a new birth. Okay? I'm not judges of anybody. But let me caution you. You can't just go just simply because you heard this and say, well, I'm a child of God. This Spirit that comes upon you to cause you to cry, Abba, Father, you've got to receive that.
That's right.
See, when it says in St. John chapter 1, to as many as believed on Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. Well, somebody will try to take that and discount this one, but they mean the same thing. Right? To as many as believe. Well, how do you believe? Well, you've got something in you calls you to believe. And as many as believe, then He gives you power. What? You'll receive the Holy Ghost and power will come upon you. That spirit of adoption comes upon you and causes you to act out and flesh out the very plan of redemption to show that you are His. So you can't make it in on a dry confession and say, well, I'm one. There's got to be a life reciprocating there that shows you're one of His. See? You won't make it without it. You won't make it without it. And of course, there's a scripture that says, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Each one of you have got to come to the place with God where you meet God face to face in your prayer closet. And you have to say, God, I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man if you don't change me. You've got to come to that. If you can see that there is rebellion and arrogancy and and resistance to your parents and resistance to what's right and resistance to the word, if you see that working in you, you've got to come to realize, you know what? That's the devil trying to take me to hell. And you've got to take that and you've got to go before God and you have to say, God, I'm sorry for all, and you name it. I'm sorry. I'm asking you to forgive me. You've got to help me. You've got to give me that spirit that Brother Tony was talking about, a spirit of adoption, something in me that makes me cry out and makes me know that you're my Father.
Amen.
That I'm actually talking to you, and I know there's a reciprocation. I know that I'm your child. You have to have that. But God will give it to you because He wants you to have it more than you want to. And His Word's not going to go out for it. It's going to come back. It's going to come back and do exactly what He said. Amen. So nobody can be there unless they were there before to begin. We don't remember that. Right? But Elijah, do you remember when you were in your father 30 years ago? You don't remember it, but you were in Him, and you come from Him. See, we come from God. I don't remember it, but I can tell you I was there.
That's right.
Right? See what I'm saying? You know you were there. You know this is your dad, but you don't remember it because your mind is blocked from that. You see, we come from God. And if we could clearly see that, then we wouldn't be walking by faith. So it's required. You got to have faith. You can't, you know, it's impossible to please God without faith. So you got to have faith to please God. So He blocked your memory of knowing that former thing. And you come here to be tested and tried and to find out your origin and find out your destination. Because they're one and the same. Right? When God said to Job, where were you before the foundation of the world? Before I laid the foundations. When all the sons, the morning stars sang, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, wasn't Job a son of God? Aren't we sons and daughters of God? Before the world was, all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Yep.
So somewhere there, you and I were rejoicing.
That's right.
And that's the image that God has. And it makes no difference to Him. All this stuff and time ain't nothing to Him. It's a lot to us. But you know, all it is time is all it is just the womb for us to develop, to come back and be birthed back to Him what we were in His mind to begin with. And when we're done on this earth, we're going to occupy exactly what we had then. And we were rejoicing then, and when we're done here, we'll be rejoicing. Amen? I realize there's not a church out, other than message churches, there's not a church out there in the world that's got the certainty of the truth that God has given to us. Just this clarity. They'd all got up and walked out on us by now. Right? But we see it as truth and we love it. We thank God for it. Amen? I know God has done great things for us. So how many's glad you're a coupon? You got a coupon inside. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts for a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your blessings tonight. We thank You for the Word. Lord, the inspiration of the Word. How that You can come just in any time You desire, wee hours or morning, Lord, and just put us on a pathway of something to share. And Lord, how that it would do Your people good. We thank You for it, Lord. We believe You. We believe that You're in our midst, Lord. We believe that You want to do great things among us. And Lord, we know that the enemy wants to fight us so terribly. But Lord, by Your grace, we'll resist him. And by Your word and by Your help, we will crest every wave that comes our way. Lord, we thank You for the blessings upon us. We give honor and praise and glory to You for bringing these things to pass in our life, Lord. We love and commit this evening into Thy hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the
Lord. Right? I don't know about everybody else, but I enjoy His Word, His truth. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord.